your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Monday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Brand new week, brand new month. That's right. Look at the calendar. If you haven't turned it over, turn it over. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the first of the month. You know, that's that hood holiday right there. March 1st, 2021. Your boy Q here with you as always, man. Ready and excited for another week of these great Locked On Raiders podcasts. A lot of great Raiders talk as far as I'm concerned. So very excited about just being into another month, man. It's already March 1st. Pretty soon, before you know it, actually be talking about real deal things happening as far as free agency goes. You know, there's going to be the tampering period. Then there's going to be the period where you can actually sign free agents. And then before you know it, it's going to be the draft. And then before you know it, it's going to be training camp. And then before you know it, going to be talking about actual games again. So these days, man, they just fly by. But today is March 1st, 2021. Today's episode is being brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You're going to get 20% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On to get 20% off your next order. Coming up on today's show, got a pretty loaded show for you. Calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. That's coming up in segment number three. You know the number, 707-654-4693. Also got a tweet that I'm going to start off segment number three with. And anytime you want to tweet at me, you can, at your boy Q254. I try to get those on as much as possible. And if I don't get them onto the show, I'll try to at least respond. I normally, 99.9% of the time, get to respond to a tweet. So I definitely appreciate anyone who reaches out to me. So if you want to, try to get onto the show that way, you can. Or if you just have a question you want answered or a comment, you can hit me up at your boy Q254. Segment number two, there was a really, really good interview, and you can go listen to it right now on Raiders.com. It was with JT the Brick and David Irving. It was actually on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Friday, but they have it up on Raiders.com right now. It's called The Game Plan with JT the Brick. Really, really good. 15, 16 minutes with David Irving, and he's talking about what it means to be a Raider, his goal with the Raiders this season, things that he needs to work on, things that are his strengths, what's it going to take to become a leader for the Raiders. I mean, there's a whole lot that he talks about, his childhood, growing up in Compton, California. There's a lot of good stuff. JT did a hell of a job with that interview with David Irving. So I just got a couple quotes from it, a couple little sound bites I want you to hear. Again, I encourage you to go listen to the whole thing at Raiders.com. It's up there called David Irving with JT the Brick, The Game Plan. Really, really good stuff. It's worth your 15 or 16 minutes for sure. But I got a couple little sound bites that I'll let you hear coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, as I do on the daily, give you the news and the notes. And there's not a whole lot to get to, but I got a little bit of something to get to. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Off top, when it comes to the Raiders, I think one of the biggest questions for this offseason is the offensive line. And when I talk about the offensive line, I'm talking about the left guard and the right tackle. Richie Incognito, he held down that left guard position until he didn't hold it down. You know, really good in 2019. 2020, didn't get to play hardly any because of an Achilles injury. Well, according to Vic Tafer from The Athletic, 3 months after the surgery, Incognito is already back and running, and he's ready to return to the Raiders next season. Now, I'll tell you, Incognito's 37 years old. He has a contract that's $5 million. He's supposed to get paid $5 million in 2021, and it's not guaranteed. He has a cap hit of $5.4 million, again, coming off that Achilles injury. I don't know if the Raiders are going to decide to move on from him. $5 million is not a lot, even though they are in a salary cap position, and so they are going to start trying to trim some of that fat. I don't know. If they feel like he's 100% healthy, they might let him take another run at it for one more year because he's done some really good things. While Richie Incognito's been a Raider, he's helped out a lot. I mentioned it before. I think he helped Colton Miller grow as well at that left tackle position. So they might decide that, hey, you know what? $5 million is not that much. If he's 100% healthy and could actually contribute in 2021, it might be worth him sticking around. So that's something to pay attention to and something to monitor because, again, he's up and running after having surgery. 3 months after having surgery, he's up and running and trying to prepare himself for the upcoming season. So we'll see if the Raiders keep him around, but it might be worth it. At only $5 million, it definitely might be worth it. And also, Vic Tafer pointed out that the Raiders have definitely noticed all of Trent Brown's workout videos on social media. He said, tough decision to bring him back at $14 million. Could still go either way. My gut feeling, which is all I ever roll with, my gut feeling tells me that they don't bring him back at $14 million. I just think that that's out of the question. If anything, they would restructure him where they just put some money up front and say, okay, hey, this is the guaranteed money that you're going to get right here, or else we're going to have to let you go. I think that's what option one is going to be, is going to try to restructure his contract and try to make it so they could put some upfront money there. And then, hey, he can go and give another run at it for one more year. But I don't think there's any chance he comes back at $14 million. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what Trent Brown and what the Raiders decide to do. But Vic Tavor said that they've noticed his workout video. So maybe they're encouraged by what they're seeing early on in the offseason from Trent Brown. We will see. Those are the two big questions as far as the offensive line goes. Also, something that I was a part of on Friday was Locked On Today, which is a new podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. My guy, Peter Bukowski, who does Locked On Packers, he hosts that show as well. He's the host of the Locked On Today show. And so he had me on Friday talking about the three big quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Dak Prescott. And so basically they have a cue of the day, a question of the day. And so he wanted me on. And basically it wasn't if I thought Derek Carr was going to be the quarterback for the Raiders in 2021. It wasn't if I thought the Raiders were going to trade for one of these guys. It was basically if I'm the Raiders and I had one of those three guys to choose from, who would it be? So I thought it was a pretty cool little conversation. It wasn't even a conversation. He'll pose the question. You'll hear him pose the question, and then you'll hear my answer. And I would love to hear from you. If you were in this situation and one of these three quarterbacks was on the table for you, or all three of these quarterbacks were on the table for you, which one would you prefer? That's something that you could actually chime in at 707-654-4693, or you could tweet at me at your boy Q254 and let me know your thoughts. But here was Peter Bukowski on Locked On Today on Friday asking me about the quarterback position.
With Deshaun Watson demanding to be traded, Russell Wilson leaking that he might could want to be traded, and Dak Prescott's future in Dallas very much up in the air, I thought it was only appropriate to bring in your boy Q, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders, who also might be in the mix for a quarterback. In fact, according to Adam Schefter, was on the list of teams that Russell Wilson gave to the Seahawks that he might be willing to go to in a potential trade, even though he says, Q, he doesn't want that trade. If you're the Raiders, let's start with the Raiders. If you're the Raiders, which of these three intrigues you the most?
I'm going to have to go with Russell Wilson. I'm a big Russell Wilson guy. I liked Russell Wilson coming out of school. Thought he was the best quarterback in that draft. He ends up going to the third round. And, well, you see what he's able of doing. But I will say, he hasn't been back to the promised land since the Legion of Boom and Marshawn Lynch have been gone. You know what I mean? So there's always that. But I do like Russell Wilson. I like the fact that, you know, he's older. I think that him and John Gruden would work together really well. He's a winner. You know he's a winner. I think with the Raiders offensive line, it would help out Russell Wilson a lot. Wouldn't have to use his legs as much, but he could still be a threat. Obviously, he's got the skills with his arm. He's got the arm talent. I like him the most. Deshaun Watson is probably the best because of his age, being 25, and he's still a young dude. But he's coming off the best career year he's had, and they won 4 games. So, you know, that's always something, too. It's something to that. And I like Deshaun Watson a lot. But I, for my money, I would probably roll the dice with Russell Wilson. Oh, by the way, he's only got 3 years left on his deal. So you can always kind of reevaluate your situation in the next 3 seasons. But you know you have a guy that for some reason has never had a vote for the MVP, but very well should have a vote for the MVP. So that was my answer I had for Peter Bukowski from Locked On Today, talking about Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Dak Prescott. I'm a Russell Wilson guy. I think he's one of those players that makes everyone around him better immediately when he walks into the locker room. He's just a natural born winner. There's just something about Russell Wilson. He's a natural born winner. So that was my thoughts on that. And matter of fact, the host of Locked On Seahawks actually wants to do almost like a crossover edition talking about what I would offer up. And it's not just me. It's also the host of Locked On Saints, Locked On Cowboys, and Locked On Bears. We're all supposed to basically say what we would offer up if we were the GM of the team, of our respective team. Obviously, it would mean I'm Mike Mayock and John Gruden, what I would offer up for Russell Wilson. But that was my thoughts. That's who I'd pick, and you heard the reasons why. So if you have any thoughts on that, feel free to hit me up and let me know. 707-654-4693. There's also reports of J.J. Watt, who I know a lot of Raider Nation would like to see in the silver and black in 2021, getting offers of $16 to $17 million a year. That's what the contract negotiations apparently are, at least that's what the reports are right now. I'm not buying that at all. There's no way I'm buying he's getting $16 or $17 million a year offer when the salary cap is going down. There's no way I see that. He's older. He's been injury prone. And I know in 2020 he played every game, but, you know, that's not normal for him as of late. He's been banged up quite a bit. So I'm looking at $10 million, maybe maxing out around $12 million a year. But if it's $16 or $17 million, if he's getting that offer from any team, he better go ahead and take that. Because I just don't see very many teams offering that kind of money. I know the Raiders ain't trying to pay that kind of money. So if that's what J.J. Watt's demanding on the open market, then go ahead. Better for him. Go get that money. He won't be a member of the Silver and Black if that's the kind of money he's looking for right there. And my final note for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast is something kind of I kind of mentioned it at the beginning of the show when I was talking about it being March 1st. Well, franchise tag deadline, March 9th. That's coming up in less than 10 days. Free agency, 17 days. It starts at 17 days. 2021 NFL draft, 60 days. 2021 NFL season, 193 days away. So you know you're an NFL fan. You know you're an NFL junkie when you start counting down the days to the franchise tag deadline. Free agency opens up. The NFL draft is here, and then the NFL season actually gets started. And so that's where we are right now as of March 1st, 2021. But that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, you'll hear a little bit of David Irving and JT the Brick. Well, you'll just hear some sound bites from David Irving answering some of JT the Brick's questions that he had on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Friday. You can hear the whole interview right now if you want to go check it out on Raiders.com. It's called The Game Plan with JT the Brick and David Irving. Really good 15 or 16 minutes. I definitely encourage you to go check that out. Before we get into that, though, I do want to tell you about a great sponsor here on the Locked On Raiders podcast, and that is betonline.ag. And they are your one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. I mean, they are your online sportsbook experts, college basketball, NBA. They have hockey. Baseball's right around the corner. They actually have some spring training games going on over the weekend. I mean, there's all kind of action on betonline.ag that you could be a part of, and it's really, really simple to open up an account. It's a free account, and you put in your first deposit. If you put $100 in and use the promo code Locked On, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus just like that. So you put $100 in, you're going to be playing with $150. It's just as simple as that. They're the one place that we trust, the one place that has you covered for all your sports gambling need. Again, your online sportsbook experts, betonline.ag. If you're on social media, check them out right now at betonline_AG. Take advantage of all the best bonuses in the business. One more time, betonline.ag. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Wanted to bring up this interview that JT the Brick did on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Friday. Really, really good job. He did it with David Irving, who's on the defensive line for the Raiders. Just re-signed, got a one-year deal. He was signed to the practice squad earlier in the 2020 season. Didn't really do a whole lot. And he's been a guy that I've talked about quite a bit. I know my guy Patrick Walker from CBS Sports, he was talking about him and his time in Dallas. He obviously got with Vic Taffer and did that piece on The Athletic. And he was talking about his time in Dallas and talking about the Raiders, and it was a really good piece. But just to hear what David Irving had to say in this interview that he had with JT the Brick, I thought was really, really interesting, because like I've said multiple times, if this dude is motivated and right and really fired up and wants to, you know, be that guy and be a difference maker, he absolutely can. I mean, the time when he was in Dallas and he was just a dominator, man. I mean, he was that dude. The problem is he didn't work hard. His work ethic was terrible. He didn't practice very hard. He's one of those guys that is so athletic and such a just, and I hate to call him a freak, but he's just an athletic freak that he could roll out of bed and just go out there and get two or three sacks a game, you know, just because he's just that good. But he didn't even really work on his craft. And so he said the right things. He said the right things to Vic Taffer. I know that, you know, he wants to be a Raider. He's excited about his times being a Raider. And even in this interview with JT, he's saying all the right things and gets you fired up as a Raider fan. Got me fired up as a Raider fan. I just want to see it now. It's like, okay, we're hearing it, and now I want to see it. But there were some things that stood out to me in a major way in this interview. And again, I encourage you to go listen to the whole thing. I mean, hear the whole thing for yourself. Hear his tone and his voice. JT asked some great questions. So check it out on Raiders.com. It's called The Game Plan with JT the Brick and David Irving. But one of the first questions that JT asked him was just about him being a Raider. What does it mean to be a Raider? Because he's been excited. He was on social media, put out stuff about, you know, the greatness of the Raiders is in their future. I mean, he seems pretty fired up. So what does it mean to be a Raider?
You know, I feel like on other teams, I kind of was, I don't know, I kind of had to change who I was. I couldn't really flourish how I would have wanted to. And, you know, like you said, here's a great fit for me. You know, the coaching staff, I mean, the city, Raider Nation, the fan base, I think this is it for me. You know, I want to retire a Raider. You know, I got Marinelli here, got Coach Gruden. You know, these guys gave me a chance coming out of retirement when no one else did. And, you know, I built a great relationship with the Raiders staff. I've always had a great relationship with Marinelli. And now it's just time to finish what we started. You know, it's time for me to come in here and get back in shape. You know, I haven't really done much of anything for, you know, 2 years, as you guys know. So, you know, I have a whole off season now. Time for me to get ready to come in and dominate. You know, by football camp, I should look completely different than I do now. And we're ready to get in here, win some games, you know, get this defense down packed and take it to the Super Bowl.
You know, I found it interesting that he said, I haven't done anything in a couple years. He hasn't really done anything in his career, his course of his career, even though he has. What I mean by that is, I mean, in the year that he had 7 sacks, he only played in 8 games. You know what I mean? Like, that was 2017. He only played in 8 games, but yet he had 7 sacks. I mean, that just shows you how dominant he can be. But 2020, 2 games. 2018, 2 games. 2017, 8 games. 2016, 15 games. 2015, 12 games. And then, of course, there's that gap. 2019, didn't play at all. And again, not playing very much in 2018. But one of the biggest things, and you'll hear it as a theme, he continues to say he's got to get in shape. He can't be just out there freelancing and think that he's going to be able to get it done and not be in tip-top shape. So one of the next questions that JT asked him was about his goals. What are his goals with the Raiders? He's on a 1-year deal. It's based off a bunch of incentives. He can make some good money if he goes out there and performs. So what is he going to do? How does he make sure that he's on the field enough to even hit those incentives?
Well, it starts in the offseason for sure. You know, my biggest thing is getting my cardio right, you know, getting in shape. Unfortunately, I've been able to get by off natural talent for some time now. It's time I put the work behind it, and that started already. You know, as long as I'm able to stay on the field, I feel like I'll be on the field for as long as I could take it. I remember back in the Dallas days, I believe it was the Tampa Bay game, I did pretty well. Marinelli had me in the fourth quarter. And I remember I actually threw up on the field, and I'm sitting there tapping my helmet, you know. And I'll look at him, and he'll say, he'll give me the finger, one more. And I'm like, all right, cool, one more. Well, that one more turned into 11 more and about 2 or 3 more sacks. So it's all on me. If I can get in shape and I'm able to dominate, I'll be on the field, and I'm prepared to be a starter.
So there you hear him say he's preparing to be a starter. He wants to be a starter. But everything he's got to do, it starts in the offseason. He's doing that now. He's, in his words, preparing right now. And he, again, I've talked about his work ethic not being very good and that he didn't practice very hard and all that good stuff while he was in Dallas. You heard him right there say it. I've been able to get by on natural athletic ability. And sometimes that works. Sometimes that works for guys. But that doesn't take you to the next level. I mean, this guy, again, could be such a dude, such a difference maker on the defensive line. And still, in his career, he only has 12 sacks. That's just because he's not on the field enough, you know. And just, he's been on and off. And then he's just not engaged. And he's just a different dude. And so if, you know, John Gruden and Rob Marinelli in particular can get a whole lot out of him, it could be great for the Raiders. But I just don't want everyone to get fired up and excited and say, hey, this is going to be the guy that's going to lead the team in sacks, or he's going to be the difference maker, why that defense is so much better. If you're depending on David Irving, you know, you're really putting all your eggs in one basket. That's very dangerous, because the course of his career has shown that he is not that guy. But again, as you hear, he's saying all the right things. So if he's actually headed in that direction, if he's motivated and he feels like, hey, this is going to be, you know, the best season of my life because I'm preparing now, I'll have a whole offseason, I'll have a training camp, I'll be able to get ready for the season. If he does that and applies himself, oh yeah, he could be a monster. And then all of a sudden, that Raiders defensive line could be really, really good. And speaking of that Raiders defensive line, JT asked him, what's his strengths? What's his strengths along that defensive line? And also, what does he need to work on? And it's going to be funny when you hear what he needs to work on. It's a recurring theme here. Check it out.
That's a tough question, because I play every position across the defensive line, so that's a strength within itself. You know, Coach Marinelli is able to put me wherever need be for that week, for the matchup, and not many players could do that. You have great sack leaders on the outside of the line, defensive end, linebacker position, and you have your rushers on the inside, nose guard, and 3 technique. Not many of those guys can interchange on both sides of the field at every position. So I feel like that's one thing I could bring. I know that I draw a lot of double teams and sometimes triple teams. That'll free up my teammates as well. What I need to improve on, though, is the biggest thing, cardio. You know, I have to be able to produce more than 2 or 3 plays and get tired, more than 5 or 6 plays and get tired. You know, because I'm not myself when I'm fatigued. No one is. So I definitely need to work on my cardio and my pad level. Always got to work on my pad level. I'm 6'8". You know, that's pretty tall for interior linemen. So So I'm already losing that battle. So keeping my pads down, and that again comes with conditioning. It's so easy to be low on the first two or three plays. It's not so easy to stay low on play 10 or 12 of the drive, you know.
So there's David Irving right there explaining to JT the Brick what his strengths along the defensive line are and what he needs to work on. And the strengths are absolutely the strength. I mean, he can line up at any of the positions, any of the spots on the defensive line, and he could dominate. He's just that great of an athlete. He's that strong. He's big. You heard him mention he's 6'8 right there. So, I mean, he can line up outside. He can line up inside. But everything I saw him was always lining up on the inside and dominating from that position. And that's really where the Raiders need a lot of work and a lot of help, is that pressure up the gut. If he could be that guy on the inside, on the interior, that could be such a area of strength for the Raiders. But going to his weaknesses, conditioning, cardio, he can't be on the field for two plays and then check out. He's got to be able to be on the field for 10, 11, 12 plays. He's got to have that kind of conditioning. He's never had that kind of conditioning. Even going back to that story you heard him say about Rob Marinelli telling him to stay on the field, one more play turned into 11 plays. He ended up throwing up on the field, but he ended up having two or three sacks on that drive. You know what I mean? So, I mean, he could absolutely be that guy. And really, again, a really, really good interview that JT did on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Friday. You can check out the whole thing on Raiders.com. It's under the game plan with JT the Brick and David Irving. And my final little quote that I wanted you to hear was just about him, who he said in his own words that he wanted to be a leader for the Raiders. And so how can David Irving, on a one-year contract, a guy who only played a handful of snaps in 2020, how can he become a leader for the Raiders?
And for me, I think it starts with getting the shape. You know, no one, it's very hard to lead when you're not out there. It's very hard to lead when you're not putting in that work. You have to earn it, you know, of course, socially with your teammates, but you also got to earn it on the field. You got to earn it with your work. You know, I was here last year, and, you know, I wanted to be more of a leader. However, I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel like I put in the work. You know what I'm saying? Kind of came in halfway through the season, played a little bit. It didn't feel right for me. So for me, I feel like the leadership's going to come as time goes on. It's inevitable. It is what it is. I am who I am. Once I get in shape, my actions will show it.
So there he is talking about what it's going to take to be a leader. And, hey, here you go. Here's the recurring theme. Got to be in shape. Got to be on the field. Got to be available. Every one of those quotes, I played four different quotes, and every one of them he mentioned being in shape, getting in better shape. So clearly he knows the biggest issue that he has is being in shape, staying in shape, being accountable. You know, we talked about this on the podcast multiple times. The Raiders need guys that are accountable. David Irving is sounding the part. He's sounding like he's trying to be accountable. He's trying to be a leader by showing that he's going to come into camp and be in shape. He said, the guy I am today is not the guy I'll look like. I will not look like this guy when training camp opens up. Like, he's sounding like he's going to do everything he can to be in tip-top shape. And if he is, whoa, look out, you know, because Rob Marinelli will get him and put him in the right position to succeed. There's no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt about that. The only questions I have, the only doubt I have is in David Irving, how long he's willing to stick it out. You know, if he gets into really good shape, is he going to start slacking off in practice? Or is he going to say, hey, I don't need to go as hard in the paint anymore? Or is he going to stick to that, I want to be a leader and continue to work my tail off? Because again, if you have guys around you that are working your tail off, your natural habits are, hey, let me work as hard as this dude is. You know, if you see your best players working their tail off to try to improve themselves, naturally you should in life, you should try your damnedest to work your tail off as well. So we'll see if he can be that guy. And if he can, then all of a sudden you're talking about free agency, you're talking about the draft, you're talking about the defensive line. How thick can this rotation be? I mean, he could be a big key cog to it. Is he the end-all be-all? Is he the answer? No. I mean, they still need to be deeper. They need to have a better rotation. But he still could be a really good piece at a cheap price too. So, I mean, if he's motivated to go out there and have a monster career season, then maybe he will be in shape and he'll show everybody what he is capable of doing game in and game out. But we'll see. But again, great interview from JT the Brick with David Irving. I thought it was really, really telling. I also talked about his life growing up as a kid and how, you know, he didn't even like sports when he was growing up. His mom said, you're either going to go to the military or you're going to play sports. He chose to play sports. You know, he said that he was a kid that didn't even like playing football, you know, and he used to get not beat up, but he would like cry at practice because he would get hurt and stuff. It's a very, very good conversation. I suggest you go check it out. Raiders.com. It's under the game plan with JT the Brick and David Irving. Coming up at segment number 3, your calls and texts and even a tweet. Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line 707-654-4693. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. And I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation, I've had 2 brand new flavors of the Built Bar, and I don't even think they're available yet. I told you the other day about the coconut brownie. They sent another one in the mail. I just got it. I think on Friday it came in the mail. Peanut butter crisp. And I'm a big Reese's guy, man. I love me some Reese's. And those kind of have a Reese's type flavor to them. Not 100%, but they're pretty, pretty close. So peanut butter crisp, that's a really, really good one. That coconut brownie is a really, really good one. And those are just going to be some of the new flavors that they have that they'll be rolling out. But right now, they got 18 great flavors on their website, builtbar.com. They're really good for you. 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. I like to put mine in the fridge, but you don't have to if you don't want to. You could just, boom, take it right out the box if that's the way that you choose to roll. And I mean, that's all good. They're great for the health conscious man or woman. They'll help you lose or maintain weight while you're enjoying a great tasting treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're even great for the keto diet. So check them out today. A lot of people, after hearing me talk about them for quite a while, said, you know what? Let me go ahead and give them a try. And then they'll tweet at me and be like, man, Q, them damn Built Bars are really, really good. You were right. I don't know what took me so long to go ahead and go for it. Just check them out. Check them out one time. I guarantee you like them, man. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON is going to save you 20% when you check out. Again, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON will save you 20% when you check out. Segment number 3, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time for your calls and text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. 707-654-4693 is the number. We're going to start things off with a tweet, though. This is going to come from Raider Cray at The Real J Cray on Twitter. And he says, hey Q, this is Raider Cray from Santa Maria, California. I decided to send you a tweet because I think I sounded like a fool in my voice message, and I don't think I said my question correctly. My apologies, I was kind of nervous leaving you the message. Haha. Before I begin, I'd like to say I'm a big fan, been listening to your podcast for months, every morning on my way to work, and it always is full of exciting news I could tune into. Thank you for that. My question to you is, with our limited cap space in mind, if you could only get one big ticket name or a splash player for one of the 3 positions on the defense, including defensive tackle like Leonard Williams of the Giants, safety like Marcus Williams of the Saints, or defensive end like Melvin Ingram of the Chargers, which player and position would be the biggest difference maker for this Gus Bradley defense? Thanks, Q. Have a great day. And first of all, thank you so much for that tweet, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for the kind words on the show. And, you know, it is a really good question. It's something that Cofield and Company, when I was on with them a couple Tuesdays ago, they kind of threw something at me like this as well. And as far as big ticket guys, as far as free agents, and we'll talk about free agency throughout the course of the week as well. But my answer was, you know, Leonard Williams would be great. It'd be my number one pick along that defensive line. If I had one player that I could pick for the Raiders, if I could just straight up pick one guy to add to the Raiders defensive line, I'd pick Leonard Williams. But it probably makes a lot more sense for the Raiders to go after a guy like Ingram, a guy like Kawan Short, guys that are, you know, 1 or 2 year guys that will cost less, but they still could play. Ingram really probably makes the most sense because he's familiar with Bradley. But as far as economics go, I mean, yeah, 1 to 2 year guys, 1 to 2 year deal guys probably makes the most sense. You know, there's going to be some veterans out there because of the salary cap going down. There's going to be some veterans that really, really could still get after it that may be cut short just because their contract is too high. And so if you can get them on good deals, go after them. I'll even throw this out there, and I'm not pounding the table for it, but Gus Bradley might be inside those locker rooms or inside the facility there in Henderson and might say, hey, man, Earl Thomas is still out there. You know, I've been talking about quite a bit. Who's going to be the Earl Thomas across from Jonathan Abram on that back end? Well, maybe Earl Thomas. He's still out there. If Gus Bradley, who is very familiar with Earl Thomas, he might, you know, say, let's give this guy a shot. I think this guy can get it done, and he'd be a good fix for 1 to 2 years. We all know he's a ball hawk. That's one thing about Earl Thomas. He can find the ball. Now, you know, he fell out of favor in Baltimore. He was doing a lot of freelancing, wasn't really coming to practice on time and everything. But if Gus Bradley could talk to him and see if he can get his mind right and get him focused like he was when he was in Seattle, it might be worth it. And I'm sure he'd come cheap since he didn't get picked up at all in 2020. So clearly it sounds like he should be humbled, but who knows? So I'm even going to go ahead and throw that out there. And Earl Thomas may be something that the Raiders at least reach out to him and talk to him. Don't have to sign him, but just kick the tires and see where he's at least mentally. Thank you so much for that tweet. Next up, I got a call from Frodo from the Shire. He's calling in to talk about the show on the draft that I did last week with Cyril Penn 4, and has some thoughts on a guy I like in Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and then also has some criticism for my thoughts on a guy that he likes in Zaven Collins. Here he is, Frodo from the Shire.
Hey, what's up? It's Frodo from the Shire. Hey, Q, I just finished listening to your podcast, part three, with your guest, in regards to the mock draft, and just a few things. I know you and some of Raider Nation are really high on Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and the one thing about that is that when it comes to drafting or adding a player in free agency, you always want to replace that player, you know, the player that you had on the roster with a better player. And with Owusu-Koramoah, he's an aggressive player. He's fast, athletic, but he's undersized. And he reminds me of a lot of somebody that's already on the roster, and that person is Nicholas Morrow. So would you spend a first-round pick with Nicholas Morrow on Nicholas Morrow? You wouldn't. And for that reason, I really don't think he's a fit. But you look at somebody like Zayvon Collins, who I know a lot of Raider Nation has been calling in and really supporting. You really haven't said much about him until recently, when your guest said that he was more of a second-round pick, and then all of a sudden you're saying, yeah, he's more of a second-round guy. I completely disagree. I think Zayvon Collins, his comparison is K.J. Wright, and you might think that's crazy, but if you look at K.J. Wright's tape and you look at Zayvon Collins' tape, and there's a lot of similarities in their game. I think Zayvon is able to do pretty much anything that that K.J. Wright can do in time. So he has a super high ceiling. So just look at the tape and, you know, tell me what it is you don't like about Zayvon's game. Going back to Zayvon Collins, he won the Bronco Nagurski Award, and he also won the Chuck Bednarik Award. And both of those awards go to the best college defensive player in all of college football. Previous winners are Chase Young, Josh Allen, Bradley Chubb, Aaron Donald, Luke Kuechly, and Adomican Sue. That's who Zayvon Collins is. So what I recommend is watch the tape with your eyes, Raider Nation. Just watch their tape. It's all on YouTube. You can find it. Watch Zayvon's tape. Don't go in there listening to Daniel Jeremiah or whatever mock draft, but just see this player who he is. Go look at K.J. Wright and see the similarities in their game. So, you know, we always talk about wanting an alpha dog. You want an alpha dog? This is it. He doesn't spend his time barking. He spends his time producing. So do you want to draft hype? Or do you want to draft production? When it comes to the draft, turn that card in. Go and get Zayvon Collins.
Frodo, my man, thank you for the call. Really good call. And I'm not sure if you've heard all my shows. And look, I don't expect you to hear every show, but we've definitely talked about Collins multiple times. You know what I mean? Multiple times. And I've actually watched him quite a bit because I watch a lot of Tulsa football. There's a lot of connections to Central Texas there at Tulsa, including one of my good buddies that actually plays on the team, Jackson Player. He's an undersized monster on that defensive line. But I didn't talk about him as a second-round guy because Cyril Penn mentioned him as a second-round guy. I mentioned him because, well, there's three things that stand out to me, and this is just me. This is what I've seen from watching him play and knowing or feeling like I know at least what the Raiders need. One, he played in a 3-3-5 scheme at Tulsa. He takes bad angles at times to get to the ball carrier, and he's not able to like knife through blockers as well as others like a Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah does, or like a Devin White for Tampa Bay. And then he doesn't have elite speed, and I feel like in the AFC West, you're going to need that speed to succeed. So those are really my only three knocks on him. I know the dude could play. My biggest thing is pretty much, in my opinion, going to have to be a scheme guy. If he fits your scheme, and that's why I said, I think last week, that if the Raiders look at him and say, hey, you know what, we can see how he'll be successful in this scheme, then go for it. I'm all for it. I just think that since he didn't play in a scheme that Gus Bradley runs, I think that he would probably be better in the later rounds. But again, that's just me. If it goes for anything, Pro Football Focus, they think he's a round one guy. You know, I just don't know if he fits with the Raiders. So, you know, that's the biggest thing when it comes to him. But I'll tell you, man, I'll never base an opinion just off of someone else's thoughts. It'll be if I don't have the thoughts on it, I'll say, hey, I don't really know a whole lot about this dude. The only reason I've seen him play quite a bit, like I mentioned, is because Tulsa, so many ties and connections with Central Texas, including Philip Montgomery, the head coach, used to be a Baylor. And Baylor's a school that I cover. So, yeah, please believe my thoughts are always going to be my own. So I definitely appreciate you chiming in and pointing that out about Zayvon Collins. And he might be the guy, but there's been plenty of Raider Nation that's pounded the table for that dude. So believe me, you're not the only one in that category. Appreciate hearing from you, my man. Next up, I got a text from Raider 570. Says, hey, Q, what up, Raider Nation? Raider 570 here. This is going to come across as crazy, but I promise it is going to get everyone who is listening to really think for a moment. What if we are approaching Gus Bradley and our offseason predictions totally wrong? Everyone we are talking about signing or drafting is being compared to someone in the Legion of Boom defense, which Gus is notoriously known for. I understand coordinators stick to their system, but what if Gus doesn't. What if Gus didn't get hired to bring his traditional pieces in, but instead sold Mayock and Gruden on a new plan? There's evidence of this possibility not being an asinine idea because of his press conference after being hired and how he's excited about working with the speed the Raiders have and working with the pieces he already has. It's a copycat league, and teams that are the first to do things and catch other teams off guard are usually successful for some time until others get familiar with it. Tampa 2, Wildcat, Taysom Hill. So what if, I know it's a long shot, but can't this conversation open up your mind to a million other directions? This will make the offseason talk go in so many more directions. Hell, I can only hope, as the Raiders need nothing short of a miracle to fix this defense to win now. Had this thought listening to your podcast while doing the dishes. What are your thoughts, Raider Nation? Interesting one, ain't it? That's from Raider 570. And yeah, I mean, he could have sold the Raiders and John Gruden and Mike Mayock on something completely different. But also in that, you know, in that press conference that he had, he said he talked about his scheme. He talked about what he runs, and he said that he has, you know, some new elements to it. He did mention that, but he basically said that he's going to run his scheme that he's always ran, where he's trying to get home with the front four. He slows down the run, you know, load up the box, slow down the run, and expect the guys on the outside to be fast. You know, and that's just what it is, and that's what his scheme has always been. So I do think he's going to add some extra elements. He mentioned when he went to Jacksonville and picked up a couple things to his scheme. You saw what he did with the Chargers. I mean, he's not going to completely just go away from everything he's doing. But at the same time, you know, he's going to have to bring in something. It can't just always stay the exact same. And there were some times, even last year with the Chargers, that he was criticized for not switching things up a little bit. So I'm sure he'll add a little bit of different elements to it. But I think that the base is always going to be the base. I don't think that he's going to go and just, you know, change it overnight. I mean, hey, you dance with the one that got you there, you know? And so that's what he's going to do. He's going to do what he's familiar with, and then at the end of the day, you know, he'll probably add some new elements to it. So, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, he's basically, he is who he is, you know, just like we all know who John Gruden is, and he's going to be who he's going to be, and I think that's what Gus Bradley's going to be as well. And he's a guy that's familiar with John Gruden, another reason why I believe he got that job. Final call of the show comes from Jordan in Oregon. He's calling in to chime about a few things he heard on last week's show, and then also some things he's seen around the league or hearing around the league, what he feels like is going to become the new normal. Here he is, Jordan in Oregon.
Hey, what's going on, Q? It's Jordan in Oregon. Just wanted to call in and kind of chime in on a couple things I was thinking about. Great shows this week, by the way. Love some of the draft breakdown or some of the prospects, the breakdowns you got. But anyway, this call is kind of in regards to what I've been seeing around the NFL. You know, now they're even kind of tying the Raiders to some of the Russell Wilson trade rumors and Deshaun Watson. I just kind of think this is going to be the new normal. I think teams just are going to, you know, just like times have changed with technology and all that, it's times have changed with teams just want to know what they have in their quarterback. Doesn't mean they're necessarily ever going to, for sure, trade them, but I think it's just going to be the normal. You're going to hear of teams, you know, willing to listen to what you would offer. And, you know, the old saying, it's not what you think it's worth. It really comes down to what you actually can get for it. You know, and so you know, you may think your quarterback's worth, you know, 10 first rounders, but you know what, I think people really want to know what can you actually get for a franchise quarterback, and that's kind of the new normal we're starting to see a lot of us in the NFL right now. And then another thing, just with some of the draft prospects and some of the breakdown on that, I really hope the Raiders aim to get a good compliment back to Jacobs out of the draft this year. I wouldn't even care if it's a day two guy. I want to hear your take on the queue, and heck, maybe you even got a couple prospects you could throw at me that I should look into. But, you know, I would love to see with them do that. Part of the reason that is Gruden really seems like he is going to, no matter what he does with his second stint with the Raiders, he wants to run the ball. And towards the later end of the season, you know, we've been 6-3, 6-4 the last couple of years, and both years the run game has kind of fallen off a cliff. Part of it, whether it's Jacobs beat down, the O-line beat down, I just think having another stud back there that, you know, heck, even if the guy was good enough to damn near split the carry with Jacobs, it just never hurts having two, just like, you know, with any position. But with Gruden's offense, I think it's so important they basically have two, what they look at as like starters in the backfield. And so I want to get your take on that, see if you got anybody I should be looking into, Q. But appreciate everything you're doing, man. Love the episodes this week. Peace out, man.
There he goes, Jordan in Oregon. Good call, my man. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. And as far as the running backs go, like guys who could potentially be nice compliments to Josh Jacobs, of course, pick number one is, of course, Najee Harris out of Alabama. He's number one for me. I doubt he'll be around for the Raiders to pick him. How about Ramondre Stevens from Oklahoma? Think he's a really, really good running back. And then Trey Sermon, who used to be at Oklahoma and then was at Ohio State in 2020. Nice, big, downhill runner. Those are probably my top three picks. If I'm going to choose guys, that it'd be on that short list right there. But I know there's a lot of really good running backs that are going to be in the league, and you know you could find a running back later on in the you know later rounds and just be a bigger body, a bigger, you know, a Tyrone Wheatley type guy, a Zach Crockett type guy, just someone who can get behind their shoulder pads and run downhill, pick up those tough, ugly yards, you know, just a big time guy. I still think Leonard Fournette would have been great. When Jacksonville released him, I think it would have been great if the Raiders had picked him up. You saw what he was able to do with Tampa Bay. I think a guy like that would have been a great compliment for Josh Jacobs, but I mean, that doesn't matter now at this point. Either way you look at it, I mean, I know he's going to be a free agent, but he's probably going to look for some big-time money. They could have got him on that short contract that he was on and then decide that, hey, we want to keep him around for the long haul. But either way, not a big deal. There's other running backs out there they can go get. Thank you for that call. Still got a text from Obi-Wan Raider in Spring, Texas. I'm going to have to get to that on tomorrow's show, just kind of running out of time. We'll get to some more calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I'll talk some more about free agents and, of course, have more news and notes around the league and, of course, with the Silver and Black on tomorrow's show. So enjoy your day, Raider Nation. Make sure you stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Social distance. Do everything you got to do. Take care of your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.